accordance with the memo dated April 21st, 2020 from the LCC Chair and Vice Chair regarding commission meetings being held remotely. You may have already seen or heard these procedures. However, for those of you who may be unfamiliar with them, members should be muted when not speaking. Use raise hand feature if you want to speak. Click lower hand when finished speaking. There'll be a roll call vote on anything except approval of the minutes in our agenda. And all of the materials are on the website. Hopefully you've all been able to access them. So unless there are questions, we'll get right to the agenda. And hearing no questions, the first thing is to review and approve the agenda. I would like to make one recommended change, and that be that we have one public comment. It pertains to the discussion we're going to have. So after the executive director's report, I'd like to review the written public comment. With that change, would someone move to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Next is to review and approve the minutes, which were sent to you previously or are on the website. Can I have a motion to approve the
minutes? McNamara moves the minutes.
And these are minutes for our four meetings, 4 days in a row, not just one set of minutes. Any discussion, corrections? All in favor, signify by thumbs up. Or aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Any conflicts of interest to report today? I would just say that National Audubon, I will not participate in any discussion with regards to the National Audubon, and I've registered that as a conflict and did not vote on their proposal. Ashley, we can't hear you. I can see you trying to speak. I think Ashley's trying to say exactly the same thing, that she's conflicted with National Audubon. Is that right, Ashley? Yeah, we can't hear you, so you'll have to work on that. But we'll note that Ashley has indicated she's conflicted with regard to National Audubon as well. Any other conflicts to report today? All right, thank you. Mark, Executive Director's report. Mark, you're on mute. You're muted, Mark.
David?
Yes?
Ashley also has a conflict with Rough Grouse Society.
Okay, which proposal is that?
That would be the Moose Habitat Collaborative.
Okay, which is, just for the record, what's the number on that?
Mr. Chair, this is McNamara. She's still on mute is her problem. She's not unmuted her mic at Ms. Peters has an unmute there.
I think it's with her headphones because she did unmute and it still didn't work.
Hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Great. I'll get off the headphones.
So which one are you conflicted on, if you have the number? Is it FRE03?
Yes.
In addition to the two Audubons?
Correct.
All right. Good enough. Mark, now you can give your report. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Chair and members, good morning. Great to see you all again. And I hope you're all feeling as well as you look, so that's good. Just a few things to fill you in on. We're starting to have some meetings. Staff is starting to have some meetings with groups, be it local governments of unit or NGOs that are interested in applying for funds for next year. So it's always nice to see those requests for meetings coming in and for people, you know, wanting to get ahead of the ball game and find out the answers or find out what's possible. So It's kind of exciting to see that every year. Just another little thing, but it's something I like to bring up to you, is that in the past, the council has talked about how we can be a little more communicative with the Clean Water Council, LCCMR. And so actually for this past year, quarterly, staff has been meeting with the staff, or I've been meeting with the directors of the Clean Water Council, as well as the LCCMR and the Legislative Water Committee, or Legislative Water Council, I guess it is. That basically has been, again, just to increase communication, figure out how we can raise our collective knowledge of what each other are doing, and also if there's any possibilities for yoking our efforts a little more, or oftentimes it's something that'll be a project comes that may want to come before us, but just doesn't quite hit the mark here. So we try to lead them over to one of those, or vice versa. A couple of other things, just more political or social in nature. The LCC director, Greg Hubinger, most of you are familiar with Greg, and many of you know him well. He is retiring. He's been threatening to do it, trying to do it maybe for the last year and a half or so. He's finally succeeding. But the new LCC director will be Michelle Weber from the legislative. She previously was the director of the Legislative Budget Office. And Greg will be hanging around here for about another month or so, having meetings with Michelle and kind of mentoring her into that position. So if you know him and you spent time with him, as I know some of you have in your respective positions, this is a good time to wish him well. He's been a wonderful person for me to work with, and I'm sure many of you feel the same way. With respect to previous requests of the council, in November, we're going to have the lead DNR researcher for CWD come in. Dr. Michelle Carstensen will be coming online with us in November and giving us a good overview of everything that's been going on with CWD. If you have any specific questions that you want me to place in front of her ahead of time for her to consider, then please just email those to me and I'll get those to Michelle. She will have her for about 45 minutes that day. She'll be doing, I think she'll be processing samples, CWD samples. So she said she can delegate that to some of her colleagues and take a break, and a welcomed break probably at that time of day. In December, we'll have also, as a request of the council, we'll have DNR coming in to discuss coordination with partners and how those coordinations happen. You know, who's going to buy what? I think it was one of the questions that came up previously from council members. And again, in that respect, if there are any specific questions you have, we can always ask them at the meetings, but it's always nice too to have them ahead of time, so maybe DNR can work those into their presentation or answer them specifically. So feel free to forward any specific questions to us for that. And we're trying to also organize a time where grants management people can join us, probably not until December, but maybe in November. And so we can talk about direct support services, because that was another question that came up from the council. How do direct support services work? Why are some different than others, et cetera? One last thing I have for you as an outlook kind of for this coming year, you know, with the COVID situation, the rest of 2020, I see or hear no indication that we will not continue to be working remotely. As far as how 2021 is going to be, that's kind of anybody's guess so far, and I'm sure it's very much reliant upon how the rise or fall of infections of COVID come about. So we'll just play it by ear, but staff will keep working on things. It seems like we have pretty much have the bugs worked out. It's still a bit difficult to do certain things and a little more time consuming, but things are moving forward. So with that, Mr. Chair, I think that's all I have for you.
Okay. Any questions of Mark? Great. we did send out a tentative calendar. I don't know if you've had a chance to review it. I have two dates that don't work for me, one being the January date. I guess I would ask that everyone send Mark or Amanda any potential conflicts that they have so we can try to work that out and we'll get you a different proposed calendar at our next meeting if that's an acceptable direction for everyone. Hearing no complaints, remember to review the calendar and send any conflicts in. Amanda, I'm going to ask you to read the one public comment that we had before we get into our allocation process.
Mr. Chair members, I'm just pulling it up here. Mr. Chair members, this comment came from the Friends of the Minnesota Scientific and Natural Areas. And the comment that was sent to us says, on behalf of the Friends of Minnesota Scientific and Natural Areas, we would like to go on record in support of the request for the LSOHC to fund the acquisition of Minnesota Scientific and Natural Areas. SNA sites are the crown jewels of Minnesota's natural heritage. They protect some of the most important sites for natural communities and rare and endangered species, and offer countless opportunities for nature interpretation and research. Thank you for the opportunity to support this important acquisition request. Sincerely, Bob, and I do apologize to Bob because I'm going to mispronounce his last name, but it is spelled D-J-U-P-S-T-R-O-M, Jupstrom, Secretary of the Friends of the Minnesota Scientific and Natural Areas.
All right, thank you. So with that, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is our allocation process. You've been sent a packet of materials. I heard from Tom yesterday who said, why didn't you send it out earlier? Which is a fair comment. We had no guidance as to when to send it out. In the past, I've heard from people that the earlier we send it out, the more lobbyists that call them, which is not desired. So Ron and I had talked about it and decided that's what we would do. If the council members would like it sent out earlier, in future years, somebody needs to let your chair know because we have no guidance on it. So we just made the call. And Tom, I'm sorry that you felt differently and we didn't catch it ahead of time, but we'll try to have a discussion next year about what we what the timing of sending that out would be. So with that said, the procedures here, and I'm going to read a good part of the memo that we sent out just to get it clear. But Ron and I, in the past, this has been a chair's proposal, and this is really a chair and vice chair proposal. Ron and I spent a fair amount of time working through it. It has been fabulous to have him sitting beside me to try to come up with recommendations and play off of him and me off of him. So this is from both of us. What we're going to propose is a starting place in discussions and then open it up for members to discuss, to amend, add, delete, increase, decrease, vote on any amendments. When there are no remaining desired amendments, debate or vote, we will make a motion. We will vote on the motion as amended, assuming there are amendments. The motion dealing with individual requests require a simple majority of the members. The main motion, the last thing we will do today, needs 9 votes. And Dan, I see your hand up. Do you want to interrupt me here?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm having some audio problems on my computer today. I didn't catch what
Member Saxog was talking about. I think maybe he was talking about the delay, I'll say a delay in getting the materials out to members. If that's what he was saying, I share the same frustration. I was literally on the road all day yesterday. I didn't get home till 11 something last night, and found it in my email this morning. And I just want to go on record as that it really should come out earlier than that. I think that was not a good decision. Thank you.
Fair enough. Tom, you have your hand up.
The reason that I show a little frustration is I'm one of the probs that I've been on 4 years at a different time, a different life, and I came on about a year ago, and as you know, last year was kind of a Bob Anderson Memorial chairman's proposals. You know, I didn't see a lot that was done differently than Bob would have had it. I like to add him a little earlier just so it could have been discussed. The other thing that somewhere along the line, I apologize to the group if this is too early or whatever, is that, you know, I've never been a part of this organization or council where there was so much zeroing out, and of course that's probably not a bad thing to do. I mean, I guess I'm not criticizing that, but I don't do it, and my history has not been in a group that has. And if I knew that was an option, I probably would have done more of it. And if everybody zeroed out that we're starting to see, things probably would be different in terms of the numbering and that's just a comment. And
okay.
I'm not complaining or saying anything different. It's just an observation that things are changing, maybe for the better, but we need to be aware of that.
All right. Thank you. Denny, you've got your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everybody. See, Mr. Chair, I was surprised that I don't think we've ever in my history on the council eliminated so many with so much funding. And I was surprised that you drew the line at 8 instead of 7. We can draw the line below 7, eliminate that individually giving out that money, where it's pretty much always been at a nod and a wink, it's done. I've never liked that. I think that's inappropriate and we shouldn't be doing that. We can go down to 7. I think I looked, there's over $70 million of member allocations for 7. And we've never done that, eliminated so many. That we can do. We can go below 7 and spend basically all the money. And then there's only a couple of projects. So it's been our history. I mean, that's the majority. The majority, they got 7 votes. I think that's a logical thing to do. And I guess I would ask, I was surprised that you wouldn't have gone down to that line and why you would eliminate those. And some of those have been longstanding. If I'm not mistaken, one of them is the Trout Unlimited project. Mr. Scherer, Representative Member Scherer and I went down and looked. I mean, that's phenomenal work being done. And I'm just surprised. I'm wondering, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want to weigh in. I'm kind of dumbfounded that I think we're getting kind of divisive if we're eliminating that kind of quantity of projects.
Okay, well, I'd like to go through where we came up with and our recommendation before we have discussion about what we do, if that's all right.
Mr. Chair, again, it's McNamara. I'm trying to understand, maybe isn't it appropriate to ask? I'm surprised you didn't go below 7 instead of 8.
We will explain that if you let us go through this.
Okay,
That's my intention. Other comments? All right. Our recommended motion, suggested motion from Ron and I, was sent out to you as a spreadsheet. We recommend the proposal for allocations as discussed and amended for accomplishment plan and bill drafting for the 2021 legislature. Staff is authorized to round to appropriate amounts as appropriate. For those of you who don't know this, they round to the nearest thousand. Staff is also authorized to include FY22 and FY23 administrative budget amounts, 546 and 553 respectively, and FY22 and 23 LCC website costs $4,000 and $3,000 respectively. Where this is important is we came up with an allocation number which included the assumption of FY22 administrative budget amounts. But this is the beginning of the biennium, so including the FY23 administrative budget to be allocated out of the FY23 recommendations that we come up with. So it wouldn't take away from this year's money, but it would just be on the books is an administrative procedure, which is liked a lot by both our staff, because they know if there's any glitches with our bill in the second year, they still have a job. But the money comes out of the second year if there's no carry forward. So benchmark appropriation was $109,824,000. We approved that in our August 31st meeting. That is a 10% reserve versus 5% that we've had in the past. I've gone over the administrative costs. It also includes contract management to the DNR and restoration evaluations, which is a required expenditure of ours. The chair's proposal is designed to be a starting point. Once we give approval to a package, project managers will be directed to create draft accomplishment plans for our review and approval during the November and December meetings. The purpose of that is really as we allocate less than full funding to these projects, we want to make sure that we don't see someone come in with no amendment to their administrative costs, but an amendment to their results. And so this gives us an opportunity to see what everyone's thinking based on the final amounts that we are thinking we are approving. The accomplishment plans then become what we use to draft our recommendation bill to the legislature, assuming we see no issues that we want to talk to proposers about. I've gone over the administrative piece. So let me talk specifically about the chair and vice chair recommendations. The first thing we did was we looked at projects that did not receive an average allocation of $400,000 and did not include them in the chair's proposal. Our thinking was that is our threshold for CPL grants. This is consistent with what we've done in the past, is saying if they're not going to get to the $400,000, they ought to think about applying to the CPL process if they're still interested. We looked and said that proposals that didn't receive two-thirds votes or votes from eight members for inclusion are not included in the proposal. So that was the line that we drew. We looked at the proposal for the DNR roving crews, as we've had many discussions. And the full funding there is $4.5 million. The average amount came in at 4.1, and or four, three, three point, no, what did it come in at? came in at about $4 million, and we're recommending an additional $410,000 so that it would get it up to the $4.5 million. With that is the assumption that they could take the remaining funds that they have and through accomplishment plan agendas, give them the more flexibility, as you've heard about probably too many times at this point. We then proposed an additional $81,000 for the CPL program to total $8,447,000, which left $6 million to be allocated. I know Denny is not a fan of the process of each of us recommending to the group an individual allocation, but we did that last fall. I received zero negative comments to that strategy. And it gave everyone a chance to say, this project is really important to me and I would like to see us provide some extra funding to it. So that's what we have recommended, letting every council member allocate $500,000 to up to two projects. We didn't think it made sense to allocate $500,000 to lots of different projects. And projects for the additional allocations that are eligible would have received at least the vote of half of the members. And any project that's not in our chair's proposal would be required to have that allocation of at least $400,000. And in no cases, allocation could exceed the requested amounts. And any member doesn't want to recommend all or part of their $500,000, the remainder would be designated to the CPL program. So there was also a note on the statutory guidance that directs the council to recommend to the legislature appropriations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund. Would you like me to read that, or did you get a chance to read that? I'm seeing no comments whatsoever, so I guess I'll read it. The council shall make recommendations to the legislature on appropriations of money from the Outdoor Heritage Fund that are consistent with the Constitution and state law, and it will achieve outcomes of existing natural resource plans, including but not limited to the Minnesota Statewide Conservation and Preservation Plan, that directly relate to the restoration, protection and enhancement of wetlands, prairies, forests, and habitat for fish, game, and wildlife, and that prevent forest fragmentation, encourage forest consolidation, and expand restored native prairie. In making recommendations, the council shall consider a range of options that would best restore, protect, enhance wetlands, prairies, forests, and habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. Ron, you helped craft these recommendations. Do you have any comments as vice chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, you know, this was not an easy process. It's the first time I've been actually involved in it. And you have to draw the line somewhere. It could have been at 7. It could have been 8. We talked about 2/3, thinking that is an indication of the council's support, I guess is one way of putting it, and decided to go with 7. Now, that's just a recommendation.
We decided to go with 8, Ron, not 7.
Yeah, well, decided to put the line at above 7. So
above 7, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there are many ways to skin a cat. This was one of them. That's what I would say. And I, one thing I regret is I don't know how many zeros those below 7 or below got, but I'm suspecting quite a few, but I don't have those numbers.
Well, about it. They would have gotten zeros other than the Audubon project. They would have gotten 10, 7, 6, or 5 zeros.
There you go. And just to kind of reflect on what Tom said about, and I've noticed this too, the number of zeros that we council members are putting up there. I think I've seen the most this year. But I think it also reflects the demand on the dollar that we have. And I used to spread a little bit to everybody, but decided also that you can't keep everybody happy. In some cases, you're just keeping a project going that maybe doesn't deserve to keep going if enough of us don't think so. So I'm one of those that also said, I'm going to be a little harder nut here and give some zeros, for especially for projects that I don't think reflect the constitution that you just read, David. So that's kind of where I'm at.
All right. So this is our recommended motion for the council to consider, and I'll open it up to discussion. Anyone want to make any comments?
This is Ashley. Sorry, getting to the raise hand option can be tough sometimes. I just wanted to comment that, you know, there are a lot of proposals that come in from the same organizations or agencies, and I find myself trying to prioritize for that organization or agency which proposals might be more important. And so part of the zeroing out was trying to prioritize the different proposals that are put forward from different organizations and agencies. And so I just encourage some of those different groups to think next year about multiple proposals and how that comes to the members and how we have to make decisions about those different proposals at the expense of other organizations and agencies.
Tom, you've got your hand up.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So is it appropriate at any time to make a motion? Just so it's on the table or what?
You can make an amending the motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion to amend the motion to include the projects on seven.
We have a motion. Is there any discussion on that motion? Jamie?
Thanks. Just wondering if staff can clarify, because I wasn't thinking about the 7 versus 8, to just clarify how much of the funds would then be spent and what we would be left with if we went forward with Member Saxhog's motion.
It's an extra $5,947,000 of the $6 million, so it would leave us with $51,000. By my calculation. Mark, is that you wanting to speak, or you're just playing with the camera?
There we go. I'm in. Can you hear me?
Yep.
The only point I had is the Knife River Habitat under number 7 would be under the $400,000 threshold. So you could take that 50 to the point of there's 51,000 laying on the bottom line. If you pop that up, you would get it to above that $400,000 threshold that otherwise would go to the, it'd be eligible for CPL. It's my only point.
Okay. Denny, you had your hand up.
Mr. Chair, just to make the same point that Member Holston just made, that I think the Saxhog motion might be, have more clarity if it either bumped Knife River to 400, which we would still be within the 6 million, that drop it off, because it will automatically get dropped off if the motion's not amended, because I don't think we can fund under 400. Just, it's a point that we probably should clarify.
Tom, I'm gonna ask you to clarify, since it's your motion and you've been asked for.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, if that's what the Danny and Mark want to do or are interested in doing, I'd amend the motion.
So your motion to amend the chair's proposal is to drop the total down to 7, but leave off Knife River because it was under the 400,000. So it would include 4 additional projects. Is that correct?
Is that what Mark and Danny requested?
Yes.
Okay. Then yes, and that's in the affirmative, Mr. Chair.
All right. Jamie, you have a comment.
Yeah, so I realize I can't amending the motion, but I will put this out there that I was going to make a motion that the 6 million, that 2 million of that be allocated to the DNR to operate a grant program similar to No Child Left Inside for the purpose of funding programs that would educate youth on protecting our wetlands, prairies, forests, and habitat. I think part of the reason we're seeing some of the allocations and the discussion change from the way maybe it's been over the past 10 years is that we find ourselves in sort of a different world than where we were 10 years ago. And in particular, just thinking of that statutory guidance that we just talked about the council shall consider a range of options. And to me, that doesn't just mean, purchasing land. I think that protect can mean a whole bunch of different things. And I know Vice Chair Shara has done a lot of work in, bringing new people outside and teaching youth to hunt and fish and be outside. And so, sort of instead of, funding more of the same, I think that this could be a really impactful way to spend these dollars that would have, ramifications for years to come. So recognizing that I can't actually make that motion right now because we've got this other motion before us, but want to throw that out there as we're discussing what we should do with this kind of 6 million that was initially set up for individual allocations. I too am not a huge fan of the individual allocations. I think if it made sense last year when we sort of things were moving quickly and we lost our chair, and but I think that it does, I think there's too much of a pressure point there with lobbyists, pushing for their, if they expect that to be a thing that we're doing every year. I do worry about the impact of outside forces, putting pressure on members, because these dollars belong to everybody in our state and not just to the same, handful organizations that, kind of expect to get these funds every year. And so I'll put that out there. Happy to discuss it further, but recognize that I can't actually make the motion until we vote on Member Saxhog's motion.
And I just want to say, Jamie called me last night to let me know she was going to do this. And while what she's talking about is not a program that I am directly involved in, it is a program that an organization I'm the chair of has been promoting very heavily. And so any discussion about that, I will abstain from and declare it as a conflict of interest, to be crystal clear that, first of all, I knew nothing about it until last night. And secondly, I don't want anyone second guessing my position on that. So I will not. I'd be happy to moderate the discussion, but I won't participate in it in any way or vote on it. Denny, you are next.
Mr. Chair, I just to clarify to Senator Saxog, we have enough money to include the Knife River one at 400, and we have a history when the average funding came just under 400, we bumped it up to 400 to include them. I just wasn't sure, and I didn't support, I would rather see Knife River be included, all the sevens, and we have enough in the 6 million to do that. Just a clarification on my thoughts.
I'm going to ask for more clarifications before we clarify the amendment anymore. Dan, you had a comment.
I think Senator Tomasoni had his hand raised before me, if you want to go to him, Mr. Chair.
But... why don't you go and we'll take him next. And
no problem. Thank you. Well, I've not been a fan of the sprinkling of money by the members that we did last year. You said you didn't receive any negative comments on it. I think Representative Beckerfin maybe hit the nail on the head when she said it was kind of a different time. But I don't like that idea. Senator Lang is not taking part in the meeting today. I think one of the things that could be an offshoot of if we do that, I think we're opening ourselves up to more criticism from the legislature, and it may make it more likely that the legislature is, going to make changes to the recommendations that come from the council. So I would encourage us to not do that. I like the framework of the Saxhog amendment. If we get that right, I think that would be a better way to do it. It would be a cleaner way to do it, and it would be less criticism, you might say. As to Representative Beckerfin's suggestion with regards to the 2 million, I think that's a conversation that we as a council should have moving forward into next year's process, but I would urge us to think carefully about appropriating that kind of money, allocating that kind of money this late in the process. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, Senator Tomasoni. I'm sorry if I took you out of order. It was not my intention.
Well, it's hard to tell what the order is here in my basement, so I'm fine with whatever the order is. I think if I heard Mark Holston correctly, I think he was suggesting, like Denny McNamara was, that we add the 51,000 to the Knife River project so it's included in the seven. It seemed to me that this just makes good sense that seven members voted for those projects and there's enough money to do it. And I think what'll shake out in the end is if the amount of money that we're allocating to these projects is not sufficient for the sponsors of the project to actually do the project, they'll get back to us and say, this isn't enough money, so we're not going to do the project. And in the end, they'll be the determiners of how much money they need and whether or not the projects will go forward. So I think that Senator Sackner, former Senator, Senator Bach told me you never lose the title of Senator, so he might still be Senator Saxhog. At Tom's motion, I think if it's in the spirit of what I heard Mark Holston say, is to include the 51,000 with the Knife River project and get all the sevens in there. I think that's a better way to do this.
All right, Kristen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could I just have some clarification on what Representative Beckerfin, this program, so it already exists, but it's not a proposal in front of us, and we would have the ability to give money to it, allocate funds to it. And then just on another note, I'll just throw this in. If we say we do go with this seven, the score of seven, I would not be in support of bumping up the Knife River project.
Okay. Just to clarify, and Jamie, I don't mean to take it out, but this is not a proposal that we have received a proposal for. It is an existing program which Jamie is suggesting would be a place she would like to see us provide funding. Is that correct, Jamie?
Sort of. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, well then so, you do it.
Yep. So to clarify, so it would not be to just put funds into the program as it is. It would be a program, a grant program similar to No Child Left Inside, which has been a very impactful, successful mini grant program that has funded programs throughout the state. So we know that sort of the framework is already there for people to apply, for people to understand the application, to get the funds out there, to get programs moving. However, this would be specifically within that program, funding programs specifically that educate youth on protecting our wetlands, prairies, forests, and habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. The current program doesn't, is a little bit broader, but because the framework's already there, we wouldn't have to sort of start from scratch. The DNR already knows how to run this program, and it's been incredibly successful. There is demand from the taxpayers, from the public, for these kinds of programs. Actually had so many applications come in last year when we did sort of the pilot project idea of this, that they had to close. They only took applications for like 5 hours because they had so many proposals come in that they couldn't even handle the number of proposals coming in. So what I would have been making, and if we don't, you know, spend all the money on all these other below eight programs here with this motion, my motion would be that we allocate the funds for this specific program for the purpose of educating youth on protecting wetlands, prairies, forests, and habitat as outlined in our constitution. So in the constitutional amendment for these funds. So that hopefully that answers that question, but happy to discuss further. And you know, before we vote, I have some other thoughts as well, but don't know if other people have questions.
So we have a chair's proposal on the table, and it has received a motion to amend by Tom. The motion was to include all of seven except for Knife River, which fell under the 400,000. That's what the motion is at this point, unless you want to somehow convince Tom to amend his motion. Jamie?
Just wondering if staff have suggestions on if you put the cutoff at a different spot, where we would still be getting away from, you know, everybody sort of getting their pet project, 500,000, but would still leave us with some funds to potentially do what I'm proposing.
Yeah, the motion, Tom's motion as it exists, would leave $507,000 to work out.
Mr. Chair, this is Joe. I have it leaving 407,000 total.
You are absolutely correct, and I am wrong. My math skills in my head were not nearly as good as I thought they were, for which I apologize. So with that, Amanda, I'd ask you to call. Ron, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need clarification. I thought the motion included Knife River as bringing it up to the 400,000 that it would need to qualify. That was my understanding from Tom. Maybe he could clarify that?
Yeah, his motion was not to include it, which is what I included. And then we had comments saying, why don't we include it? But I haven't heard any change. Jamie?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would, I think that keeping Knife River out and leaving us the option of the, you know, and not in a negative to whatever, to Knife River. But I think, you know, obviously the grant program for No Child Left Inside is very scalable. And I think that, you know, a lot of good could be done with $407,000 to what I'm suggesting if we were to stick with Member Saxhog's current motion as it is.
Ron?
Well, I would like to see the Knife River included. I'm very familiar with the Knife River and the work that they've been doing, the North Shore Trout Program, Steelhead, etc. It's the sportsman's organization up there in Duluth. They've taken it under their responsibility to improve their own backyard. So, and it's a habitat-oriented project. So I would like to see Knife River included. Maybe Council Member Saxhog would entertain an amendment to his motion.
Jamie Swenson, you had a comment.
Yeah, just
you're breaking up, Jamie. Maybe get rid of your attempted video so we can hear you. It sounds like you're playing a very bad piano, Jamie. Can you, try it again?
For the would or would not be part of the program.
We really did not understand what you said. Can you try again? Go ahead.
Okay. I will
we are not hearing you. Can someone on the staff try to call Jamie and understand what she's trying to say? Because we can't hear that. Tom?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if we shouldn't vote on my motion, my amendment to the main motion, and then take on an amendment to the motion on Knife River after that motion is dispensed with.
So what you're saying is your motion stands.
Right. But I would consider it friendly. I mean, I don't mind somebody making a motion that we vote on later.
Okay.
To add to it.
All right. Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. Chair, can someone staff mute Member Swenson, please?
Mr. Chair, Representative Fabian, she actually is muted. I believe that's just a time delay from when she was trying to speak earlier and it's still coming through.
So I see Mark on the phone. He's going to try to get her a comment, but Dave, you're muted.
Okay, so I'm okay with the program that Representative Swenson is talking, or not Swenson, Beckerfin's talking about, but I think the precedent is a problem. If we start allocating money to programs that haven't asked us for money, then we end up opening this up to the legislature, which some of us might not mind. But at the same time, I think that if we set a precedent of giving money to a program that actually hasn't gone through the vetting process of the Lasard Sams Council, that, well, who knows where it could end up. However, the vote today is going to be fine with me, but it's just a matter of, I think we have to be careful that we don't get down a slippery slope here.
All right. So Mark Johnson, did you get a hold of Jamie to figure out what she was saying?
I left her a message, Mr. Chair. I'll text her right now.
Okay.
We're gonna try to have her log out and then log back in. And
so Jamie Becker Finn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just say, you know, I think that the argument could definitely be made that in this year of all years, that, you know, it's kind of incumbent upon all of us that have the power on these councils and within the legislature to be creative in the way that we are best spending these dollars for Minnesotans. And right now, you know, none of us could have expected at the beginning of this year when we were requesting proposals that we would be in this situation where our economy is where it is. And, you know, we have to get creative to take care of people and do what's best. And so I think I recognize, like, in a perfect world, you know, we wouldn't need to maybe get that creative because everything would be hunky-dory and we would be meeting in person and we could talk about all these things. But, you know, given the situation we find ourselves in where we'll most likely, you know, we're facing a several billion dollar deficit for doing anything next year within our state, I think, you know, it's a unique situation and a unique year. And I think that, you know, it's pretty easy to make that argument that it's okay to sort of do things that haven't been done before in 2020. If we're ever going to try new things, this is the year to do it, I think, as I talk to you on Zoom.
All right, Denny.
Mr. Chair, I think Representative Becker Finn's got a great idea, and I think there's a good spot for it to fit. If Senator Tomasoni would be willing to do it with me, we both serve on LCCMR. Representative Becker Finn, they actually have an emerging issue category of money that is unspent. And we could, that project you're talking about would fit there very well. They have a process to do that ongoing. So anytime an important issue like the one you're talking about pops up, And we do have a meeting yet before we make our final recommendations and adoptions. That's a great emerging issue, I think, that would fit there if you would be willing to work, like, with one of the co-chairs, Representative Hansen, who chairs the Environment Finance Committee. I certainly would be willing, and maybe Senator Tomasoni also. I think that's a really appropriate place for it to fit, and it's got a process in place already. I guess I'm wondering what Representative Becker Finn thinks of that idea.
Dan had his hand up first. So, Dan, I'm going to go to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to speak to the council and particularly to Member Saxog, Senator Saxog, to change his motion to include the Knife River. I think that we can make this a pretty clean and quick meeting today if we do that. The money that would be left over would be, is that 17,000, somebody on staff anyway? And if we haven't fully funded CPL, I would suggest that we just put it in there. I've got a 9-year-old grandson who's tucking up my sleeve and wants me to take him grouse hunting today. I'm just kidding.
Jamie, back to you. Jamie Swenson, you're with us now. Can you try to speak the way we couldn't hear you before?
Sure, I'll try one more time.
Oh my God, that's so good.
I did send my question. Yeah. Okay. My question was, if we included G4000, technically at 400, correct?
If we say that again, if we included Knife River, it's currently not at 400. The thought was to increase it to 400, which would give us an extra 7,000, but that's not what Tom, who's made the motion, wants to do. So his motion is okay to not include it, and if someone wants to recommend then that we include it later, that would be a separate motion.
Okay, just wanted to make that clarification, because including it in the motion doesn't even make it eligible for the program, the project, or the program yet. It would have to be 400,000. So if you wanted.
Okay, now the other Jamie, go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Member McNamara. Well aware of their emerging issues account, but I think as a former legislator, you can probably appreciate that we got to try to get things done in every way that we can. So, you know, maybe after we vote on this motion, we can go from there. But do appreciate your words of support for the program, because I think that now more than ever we need to be making these investments towards our future. So. Thank you for that, and I'll let us maybe finally get to the vote on Member Saxhawk's motion.
So, Mark Johnson, you had your hand up. Do you have anything to add here?
Mr. Chair, is just I should mention that the No Child Left Inside is maybe a really good program. I'm a little bit familiar with it, not really familiar. But the one thing that I really should bring up is whether or not it fits the constitutionality of our charge and the statutory charge that we have for that the dollars must be used to protect, restore, and enhance habitat for game, fish, and wildlife. That actually could be part of the later discussion, though, so you can go ahead with Senator or Mr. Saxhawk, Senator Saxhawk's motion.
Yeah, I'd like to get through Tom's motion and then talk about other things, if that's all right with everyone. If anyone has any additional comments related to Tom's motion, which is to include four projects that each receive seven votes, Forests of the Future Phase 8, Protecting Minnesota Lakes of Outstanding Biological Significance, Camp Ripley Sentinel Landscape, and Trout Unlimited Cold Water Fish Habitat Enhancement. That is the motion. Are there any additional comments on the motion? Amanda, will you call the roll?
Mr. Chair, members, we will be starting with number 4 on the alphabetical list today. Eggerling.
Aye.
Eggerling votes aye. Representative Fabian.
Aye.
Fabian votes aye. Polston.
Aye.
Polston votes aye. Senator Lang.
Aye.
Lang votes aye. McNamara.
Aye.
McNamara votes aye. Peters.
Aye.
Peters votes aye. Saxhawk.
Aye.
Saxhawk votes aye. Swenson.
Aye.
Swenson votes aye. Senator Tomasoni.
Yes.
Tomasoni votes aye. Hartwell.
Yes.
Hartwell votes aye. Shara.
No.
Shara votes no. Representative Beckerfin.
Aye.
Beckerfin votes aye. 11 ayes, 1 no.
All right, so we are the chair's proposal is on the table with an approved amendment that allocates an additional amount that would leave us $407,000. And so we are open to discussion about other things related to that. And Dan, you have your hand up first, and then Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would make a motion that the $407,000 be allocated to the Knife River.
Okay, we have that motion. Jamie Swenson, I think you were first, but I'm not sure. So go ahead.
Thanks. I was going to make the motion to allocate $46,000 to Knife River and the remainder to CPL.
$46,000? Oh, I see. To increase the Knife River to $400,000 and the balance to CPL. I think that's what you said. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. But that motion, you can't make that motion now because we've got Fabian's motion on the table, but we'll take that under advisement. But Denny, Mr. you have your hand. Or no, Jamie Becker-Finn, you had your hand up.
I had a different motion, so I will wait until we finish with this one.
Okay, Denny.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to mention, I was seriously went after the Knife River folks, as people probably know, in a very open way when we were meeting in the state office building, that I thought some things were questionable. They have really gotten their act together with using this nonprofit from the Duluth area as a fiscal agent. I never was about the work they were doing. It was about some things they needed to do to get their paperwork in line. They have really done that. And I want to make sure that people know I actually allocated money to them, I believe maybe for the first time, and support, including the project. And I believe their way they got their financial paperwork in order is commendable. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to amend my motion to incorporate Member Swenson's motion. And that would be then the $400,000 to Knife River and then the remainder to CPL.
Okay.
Does that make sense to everyone? And is Member Swenson okay with that?
I'm sure she is, because she you're doing what she asked to do.
Okay, thank you.
She's got a thumbs up. Other comments? I would just say I'm not a fan of Knife River, and I will be voting against, but it's the will of the council, not of any one of us. Amanda, you can call the roll. Oh, sorry, Jamie, you have another comment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this applies to sort of this issue as well as the previous motion. But just want to say, you know, I think having, you know, these programs be on phase 10-13, you know, I think we run into an issue where we have these groups, you know, there's an expectation that these tax dollars belong to these different groups. And I'm just wary of sort of this idea that, oh, everybody has to get something just because they applied, sort of way of seeing how we do our work here. I know when I zeroed out some projects and in the decisions that I made, it was based partially on, you know, how long has this program been around? How much money do they still have sitting there that hasn't been used yet? You know, where do we have people trying to do things in different areas of the state or different places we haven't worked before? I think, you know, it's interesting that we are not supposed to, you know, supplant funding, regular funding in other places, but we've basically, you know, we run the risk of us sort of being just like a regular expected funding source instead of, you know, more like a grant program or something like that. And so just wary of this idea that necessarily everybody who applies needs to get something. And just encourage folks to sort of think about that as we move forward in this year and next as well.
Okay. Any other comments on the motion to allocate $400,000 to Knife River and $7,000 to CPL, which would use up all of the remaining funds. Ron?
Well, I probably should wait. I was just going to respond to Representative Becker Finn's concerns, because I've had the same concerns about groups that come in here for 7, 8, 9, 10 years in a row. On the other hand, I think the big picture is, my gosh, we've destroyed so much prairie, it's drained so many wetlands, etc. It takes a long time to try to restore these. I just did an interview about the grassland depletion in Minnesota and what it could do if we brought grasslands back, even for things like global warming, and it's all science-based. So in some ways, we have to keep funding these organizations because they're doing good work. And the Knife River is a long river, and it's been abused. So anyway, I'll end it with that. But I've shared her concerns as well, but then the big picture is there's a lot of work left to do.
Okay. Any other comments? Amanda, will you call the roll?
Beginning with number 5 on our alphabetical list this time, Representative Fabian.
Aye.
Fabian votes aye. Holston.
Aye.
Holston votes aye. Senator Lang.
Aye.
Senator Lang votes aye. McNamara.
Aye.
McNamara votes aye. Peters.
No.
Peters votes no. Saxhog.
Aye.
Saxhog votes aye. Swenson.
Aye.
Swenson votes aye. Senator Tomasoni.
Yes.
Tomasoni votes aye. Hartwell.
No.
Hartwell votes no. Shara.
Aye.
Shara votes aye. Representative Becker Finn.
No.
Becker Finn votes no. Eggerling.
No.
Eggerling votes no. Eight ayes, four noes.
All right. So as it stands right now, the chair's recommendations, with the addition of four projects that received 7 votes and one project that received 7 votes that gets an extra $400,000 instead of what their average allocation was, and 7,000 additional funds to CPL, is the motion on the table. Denny, you have your hand up.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to clarify, I'll make that motion. No one ever moved your proposal. Saxhog made a motion to add the 7 projects, but I think just to clarify, I don't think anyone ever moved your proposal, and if they haven't, I would be willing to move it as amended.
I thought I made the motion to put it on the table, and then we started to amend from there, but just in case, thank you for clarifying that the chair's proposal is on the table. Any staff, did you think my proposal or the chair's proposal was on the table and was a recommendation?
That was my presumption, Mr. Chair. We can go back through the audio of it. It's nice to have Representative McNamara's confirmation of that.
Okay. All right, so members, we have motions and amendments on the table which would use up all of the funds. We still have the ability to have additional motions which would reduce funding in one place and add it somewhere else, or we have discussion that can take place. I'm asking if anyone wants to say anything. Denny?
Mr. Chair, I want to withdraw my motion. I didn't know you did at all. I'd like to let you make your motion if that was your intention.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chair, it's McNamara again. I think it's, sorry to be one question, but I think I never heard you say you were making moving a motion. You did talk about a recommendation. That's different than moving a motion. I think to clarify, we should be sure that the motion's on the table. Sorry.
So I will clarify that. Thank you for pointing that out. But Jamie, do you want to make a comment?
Yeah, just wanted to sorry, lost my earpiece here. just want us to keep sort of our minds open about how these funds are spent now and in the future. My understanding is the emerging issues account right now only over an LCCMR only has $109,000 in it, which is not very much. I think as to, you know, some of the comments worrying about whether what I was proposing would be constitutional, I think it absolutely would be. You know, right now we are interpreting protect to mean acquire via purchase. You know, and I think if protect was only intended to mean purchase land, that's what it would have said. And I know that protect is also the word used within when we talk about the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, and that has been interpreted in the past to fund education programs with kids, you know, canoeing and things like that. And I think also I think important, at least in my view, to the Knife River project and many of these other projects is that significant amount of the funds that we have spent to date and that we would be recommending today to restore habitats have been due to the actions of people. And, I don't know if it makes anyone else crazy that we're spending so much money making a stream into a stream again after humans decided to make it straight, or fixing erosion on lake shores and riverbanks after humans decided they wanted to, you know, build things in a way that wasn't conducive to protecting that habitat. Or, you know, I think of all the different kinds of prairie habitat and particularly hunting habitat that's been destroyed, the breeding grounds for different wildlife that have been destroyed sort of in the name of, human progress and making land useful in a way that makes money that isn't necessarily hunting and fishing. And so I just really want us to think about that a lot, because I think if we investing in educating our citizenry on how to protect what we have instead of spending all the funds on restoring things that we as humans screwed up, makes a lot more sense to me, I think, long-term. You know, long-term, I'd like to see us spending less on restoration because it isn't necessary, that we haven't had things destroyed that need to be fixed. So I just wanted to put that out there. I know we're sort of in a place where there's no money left over, and, seems that the will of the council is to not do this year, but I think I'm curious what other members have what their thoughts are and still finding a way to do this. You know, even $1 million, I know that $1 million is a lot of money, but out of $100 some million, $1 million given to a program like this that is investing in the protection end of what our duty is, I think would be money well spent. So I open to others' thoughts, because I think this is a unique time and really an opportunity for us to do something really impactful.
Other comments? Ashley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Jamie, for bringing forward the issue of wanting to have people better educated so we don't have some of these things happen in the first place. I guess my thought on it is that I'd prefer if we did something with this, to have a larger discussion about what PROTECT means, to get some folks to talk about what the intention was with that. And I think the other piece of this is I would rather have, if that is something the council wants to do and include, that it be part of projects that we're approving rather than pushing funds towards something separate from what's been put in front of the council. So, but thank you, Jamie, for bringing up the topic.
Other comments? So I will reiterate the motion that's on the table. It is the chair's proposal, which if I wasn't clear, on behalf of Ron and I, we were putting a motion forth to adopt that. It has been amended to include five additional projects, four which were received seven votes and the average allocation carried forward. One, Knife River, to receive $400,000, which is $46,000 more than the average allocation. An additional $7,000 going to the CPO program beyond what Ron and I had recommended, and that the roving cruise recommendation of funding of $4.5 million also includes the expectation that the council will approve any work plan amendments, accomplishment plan amendments, to allow them to take the money that is currently in their accounts and have as much flexibility with it as what we're approving in terms of the general roving crew program in this round. And that is the motion on the table. Are there any additional comments on that motion or clarifications anyone would like? All right, Amanda, if you will call the roll, and I'll just remind everyone, this is our recommendation. This needs at least 9 votes to pass.
Beginning with number 6 on the alphabetical list, Holston.
Aye.
Holston votes aye. Senator Lang.
Aye.
Senator Lang votes aye. McNamara.
Aye.
McNamara votes aye. Peters.
Aye.
Peters votes aye. Saxhog.
Aye.
Saxhog votes aye. Swenson.
Aye.
Swenson votes aye. Tomasoni.
Yes.
Tomasoni votes aye. Hartwell.
Aye.
Hartwell votes aye. Shara.
Aye.
Shara votes aye. Representative Becker-Finn.
Aye.
Becker-Finn votes aye. Eggerling.
Aye.
Eggerling votes aye. Representative Fabian.
Aye.
Fabian votes aye. 12 ayes, 0 noes.
We have a recommendation. Thank you all. I think our meeting is concluded unless someone has something that they would like to add to this. Thank you all for the discussion. It is nice to see a vote of 12 members in favor of our recommendations. Seeing no hands, I'll just thank you all for participating today and wish you a great day. We will be talking in, I believe, November at our next meeting. So thank you very much.